Mishmash is supported by the Keep Michigan Kids Tobacco-Free Alliance. 67% of Michigan voters support the historic bill package to reduce tobacco use among our kids. More information at flavorshookkidsmi.org.
This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasbin. A significant increase in the state's minimum wage and changes in paid sick time requirements could be coming early next year after the Michigan Supreme Court ruled last month that the Republican-led legislature's move in 2018 to adopt the proposals to keep them off the ballot before gutting them shortly after that year's election was unconstitutional.
It took 6 years for the highest court in the state to make a decision on this case involving the, quote, adopt and amend strategy used in 2018, though advocates decried the move by Republicans immediately. Basically, the legislature then was worried voters would pass a $12 an hour minimum wage and increase in requirements for paid sick time. By adopting those proposals, they were able to change them with a friendly legislature and governor.
But now, like you said, Shayna, 6 years later, on the minimum wage side especially, businesses are looking at an even steeper increase than they would have had in 2018. The original proposal called for a $12 minimum wage by 2022, but the court ordered the state to take inflation into account. Recently, the state said the minimum wage would increase to $12.48 in 2025, and up to $14.97 by 2028 under its preliminary calculations.
Businesses don't seem to be particularly worried about the regular minimum wage increase, however. The biggest change here is that the tipped wage, what people like servers who take in most of their wages in tips, would be eliminated. Under the now current law set to be phased in beginning in 2025, those employees who make about $4 an hour would also make that $15 an hour by 2030. We spoke to Crane's Detroit business reporter Dave Eggert about this, and here's what he had to say about the business group's reaction.
You know, I think their main point seems to be they would like to exempt small businesses. It's a little unclear. I think they're also just trying to make the point that they had exempted a lot of things that people don't necessarily think about, like workers who are part-time, seasonal, teen workers, though they are would be getting paid leave under this law. And for small businesses, their argument is that's really tough for us to do.
And that's the key point business groups are asking the Democratic-led legislature to change. Many restaurants are saying they won't survive paying the full minimum wage to servers. But so far, legislative leaders and Governor Gretchen Whitmer have been silent on how they will handle this.
It's not just the wages, though. Businesses are also concerned about the paid sick time proposal now set to take effect next year. The law would implement requirements on how all employees other than federal earn sick time.
Businesses are saying this law lacks flexibility and could actually weaken paid time off currently offered to employees by creating stringent requirements around sick time only. It also allows employees to pursue legal action against employers, and there are concerns around the amount of notice you have to give before taking sick time as well.
The minimum wage piece has gotten a lot of focus, but the paid sick time law is also concerning for businesses. It is still unclear, however, what, if anything, the legislature will do.
And the legislature is set to come back for a few days in September. However, this issue, like so many other things in Lansing right now, seems like something we may not see any action on until the post-election period.
We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we come back, we'll be joined by Dave Eggert from Crane's Detroit Business. Stick around. Hey, it's Shayna Roth, host of WDET's Mishmash. Our thoroughly unjumbled state politics podcast is only possible thanks to our listeners' financial support. And right now, we really could use your support. If you go to WDET.org/give and make a gift today, we would greatly appreciate it.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Alethea Kasbin.
And I'm Shayna Roth. Today, we're joined by Dave Eggert, senior reporter for Crain's Detroit Business. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Adopt and amend has become a pretty common phrase for us in the Michigan Capitol Press Corps. But before we get into the specifics of a recent court decision, Dave, can you explain for listeners the history of adopt and amend and what we mean by this phrase?
Sure. Well, this issue traces back to 2018, you know, essentially 6 years ago now. And adopt and amend essentially means what happens when it gets into Michigan's ballot initiative process and what happens when groups initiate a law, gather signatures to put it on the ballot, and what the legislator does when that issue gets to them. Under Michigan law, the issue, unless it's a constitutional amendment, initiated legislation first goes to the legislator, which has a role in kind of deciding how that issue proceeds going forward.
And if the legislature adopts it, that means it won't go to the ballot, which is key here for later, right?
Yes, the legislator can adopt a law, put it into law, and that's the issue, or that's essentially settled. Or it can kind of let the issue go to the ballot. There's a third option, which spells out they can let it go to the ballot, but also propose an alternative. And back in 2018, some groups put forth a couple different ballot initiatives, one related to the minimum wage and one related to paid sick time for employees.
And before 2018, had the legislature ever used this strategy?
They had never used the strategy in this way, this way before, this adopt and amend tactic. They adopted the laws, and then later on, after the election, they amended the laws and essentially made them more business friendly. No, this was unprecedented in Michigan history and led to a many years long court fight.
So staying in this 2018 period where they adopted and amended, you know, these proposals, you said they made them more business friendly. Others would say that they gutted them. You know, this is supposed to be a $12 minimum wage. They didn't have it go that high. You know, why did the legislature use this tactic? And was it immediately controversial?
Yes. Well, first it was very controversial in the moment. The legislature at the time was controlled by Republicans. Democrats had not had much luck up until that point with legislation to increase the minimum wage. Paid sick time bills had really gone nowhere in the Republican legislature for several years. So, you know, ballot groups largely funded and backed by unions and other kind of Democratic liberal groups decided we're going to gather signatures, put this to the people of Michigan, and they can decide. There's a couple different things going on politically at the time. Ballot initiatives generally are thought to generate turnout, extra turnout, particularly on those issues, probably for Democrats. So some of it was, we don't really want this to go to the ballot. And then secondly, there were just underlying policy concerns for Republicans and business groups who felt like the laws were unwieldy, both just kind of the actual policy implications of raising the minimum wage and eliminating what's known as a tip credit, which lets workers who make tips can basically be paid a lower minimum wage as long as their tips make up the difference. And then on the paid leave law, there were concerns, I think, with kind of mandating paid leave across entire industries. But also, I think the bills at the time, business groups would argue they were not necessarily written in a way that kind of made sense from a workability standpoint.
So it took 6 years to get a conclusion after all of that happened and we got the lawsuit. What has happened in the 6 years since this lawsuit was filed?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's a the lawsuit has been going on for a number of years. The legislature, Republicans at the time, joined with Rick Snyder and passed a minimum wage schedule that was, you know, essentially not as generous. It raised the minimum wage. Instead of getting to like a $12 minimum wage, essentially by now, Michigan would have had a $12 minimum wage, roughly, I think, right by around 2022. The minimum wage has grown more slowly. And the big issue for restaurants is the tip credit was kept in place. So you make tips at your job, you can be, your employer can pay you, I think it's 38% of the minimum wage. You, and if those laws, the issue has been, if the original laws had not been amended, we would, you know, the minimum wage would be past those points by this point. And it, particularly in coming years, even farther past those points and more and higher wages.
So after all that history, we finally got a Supreme Court decision last month, and they said, no, actually, you cannot adopt an initiative and then amend it in the same session. So now what does that mean for the state's minimum wage and paid sick leave requirements? Because for the minimum wage specifically, like you said, we would be above that $12. You know, we're looking at like a higher minimum wage than even what the proposal envisioned.
Yeah, the court essentially said, reinstated those initial laws from 6 years ago, and on the minimum wage issue, decided it needed to account for inflation over those 6 years, you know, to essentially from a fairness perspective, you know, if the law, if the minimum wage should have been, you know, $12 by now, they felt like to implement the law and make it fair, we're going to account for inflation. That has now become an issue. It's like how to calculate inflation. Essentially, we generally know that the $10.33 an hour minimum wage, which is what it is at right now, will go up about $2 an hour in February of next year to around $12.50. There's a question about what it'll be in future years, and that's now being played out a little bit again in the courts. I would say maybe, I mean, from a perspective of businesses, the paid leave requirements are for potentially even a bigger deal, because those back in 2018, the legislature decided we're going to exempt all businesses, employers with 50 or fewer employees, they would not be subject to the paid leave law. And there's a number, a host of other changes that are coming in February. That law is going to take effect in February. And pretty much, except for the federal government, every employer in Michigan is going to be subject to these paid leave requirements.
So you mentioned businesses, and it seems like these changes would have the biggest impact on businesses in Michigan. So what have they been saying about all this? Where do they stand?
You know, I think their main point seems to be they would like to exempt small businesses. It's a little unclear what, you know, do they try to go back to exempting all businesses with 50 or fewer employees. You know, that could be a pretty tough lift in the Democratic-led legislature. I think they're also just trying to make the point that they had exempted a lot of things that people don't necessarily think about, like workers who are part-time, seasonal, teen workers, though they are would be getting paid leave under this law. And for small businesses, their argument is that's really tough for us to do. Lawmakers, I think, are really largely getting lobbied on that issue, and also the extent to which they can make other changes to the law, like things like notice. Like, how much notice does an employee have to give if they're sick? How does leave, kind of clarifying, does leave carry over? into future years. And sorry, I should have said this before. Some other big changes are starting in February, the employers that had been required to provide 40 hours of paid leave will now require to provide up to 72 hours of paid leave. You know, I think there'll be an effort maybe to scale that back, but from talking to business groups, I think they kind of realize cutting into that 72 hours would be very difficult in a Democratic legislature. So they're focused, I think, on maybe either exempting certain businesses from the requirement and or just focus on like these other parts of the laws that are getting less attention.
So what are we hearing from legislative leaders and Governor Whitmer, if anything? Have they indicated at all that this is something they want to tackle?
No, they really haven't. I mean, it was very notable on the day the ruling came out. And largely since then, the Governor Gretchen Whitmer has not said much about the ruling one way or the other. And, you know, the administration's interest in potentially tackling this issue either before the election or after in the lame duck period. Legislative leaders have also, I would say, been largely quiet on the issue to this point. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I think lobbying going on behind the scenes, you know, pressure to act, but they have not said much publicly.
The wage for tipped workers seems to be the biggest panic point here. Is that your sense from the business community as well?
Definitely. That's the big pressure point. And I think what's getting kind of the most public attention, because everybody in Michigan eats, they go out, there's tipped employees, servers talking about this. You know, this has been on the restaurant industry's radar for years. And they've been, you know, kind of teeing up and preparing for this for a number of years. They've been pretty organized on, you know, trying to arrange press conferences and events with the media and with servers and restaurant owners. That's, I think, the one that has probably garnered the most attention and is a place where the business community can kind of argue things like, oh, there's not, this is fairly rare nationally. I think there's maybe 7 states that don't have a tip credit, you know, 43 do, you know, so it's kind of the thing that they've been able to point to, you know, Michigan being an outlier, things like that. So yes. And there's, I think there's worry both in February, but just over time, I should have said this tip credit would go away by the end of the decade. And that just raises a lot of questions for the hospitality industry on, you know, just how are they going to kind of adopt this new model of you know, paying employees in Michigan.
So given, you know, the silence we have kind of heard from the governor, from legislative leaders, to you, does this seem like a lame duck issue or like something the legislature could come in next month when they're here for a few days and ground out a solution?
It seems like a lame duck issue. You know, I think the restaurants particularly would love to not be a lame duck issue, because anytime bills get into the lame duck period, there's just so many other competing priorities. And then you're raising the stakes and the pressure and kind of bringing other bills into the works. And, you know, what does, in this case, for you know, I think for organized labor and some Democratic interest groups to agree to any sort of changes, like they're going to want something, right? So I think there'll be a push before the election, but just given the complexity of the issue and the election particularly, it just seems like it's going to wait till lame duck.
Speaking of the legislature and being in session, something that has been a little slow going this year, do you get the sense that anything is on the list of priorities in September?
It's been really hard to find that out. I mean, the thing you hear probably the most about is like more budget legislation, like a budget supplemental. There is you know, I think, I don't have the number in front of me, hundreds of millions of dollars that is sort of on the balance sheet. And the way the budget process ended in the summer, earlier in the summer, left a lot of education groups unhappy. And they've been really pressing the administration and lawmakers to kind of address some issues, particularly in the K-12 budget, but also higher ed budget. I think that's probably what I hear the most as to something that could get done before the election.
What about in the lame duck session? Is anybody thinking about lame duck at this point, or are they all just hyper-focused on November?
Well, they're hyper-focused on November. I mean, I think there's big issues out there that strategists are thinking about and have been pressing on all the entire 2-year session, largely the efforts to reform Michigan's economic development fund. And with that, you know, an effort to boost funding on transit, housing. I mean, that's honestly probably has been the governor's biggest priority. And so far, it's been very difficult for her to kind of get that through the legislature. You know, there's now talk of, you know, other, you know, there's always talk of big economic development projects in the pipeline. You know, what's going to happen with the Renaissance Center in Detroit and kind of that whole effort to redevelop it. I don't know. That's another issue. I don't know that there's the political will or ability to get it done before the election.
For sure. All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to our guest, Dave Eggert from Crane's Detroit Business. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth. I am back. I wonder if you all missed me after my 2-week hiatus. And Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alika Kasman. I'm thrilled to be back with you both.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. If you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener-supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.